The text is the Gospel reading from St. Matthew. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Here ends the text. When we see a person persevering in a difficult situation, we say he must be a saint. When we see a person being patient with an obnoxious person, we say she has the patience of a saint. When we see a person being touted for his good behavior, we will modify that view by saying he's no saint. We all know what a saint is. We don't feel we have to define the term when we use it, and our definition of saint is in line with the gospel reading. This Matthew 5 passage, the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, has been the one historically read for the festival of All Saints, because it is thought to describe the ideal qualities of a saint. And wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree that if a person met the criteria of Matthew 5, he or she must be a saint? If a person is poor in spirit as opposed to being proud, he must be a saint. If a person is in this veil of mourns in this veil of tears rather than laughs, she must be a saint. If a person is meek, he must be a saint. If a person hungers and thirsts after God's righteousness rather than the world's fame, she must be a saint. If a person is pure in heart, he must be a saint. If a person is a peacemaker, she must be a saint. If a person is persecuted because of Christ, he must be a saint. So, does this describe you? Be honest now. Do you think you are a saint based on these criteria? Isn't that funny? We will use the term saint freely to refer this or that person. Yet we would hesitate to use it for ourselves, wouldn't we? We would sooner admit to being poor in pocket than in spirit. We would hardly describe ourselves as mourning now. And as for meek and pure at heart, get real. We hunger and thirst not for righteousness, but for food and drink. Merciful and peacemaking are not my strong suits. How about you? Well, then, to us, doesn't belong the kingdom of heaven, does it? Now this next part's going to hurt, but let me ask you. Does this Matthew 5 standard fit any of your loved ones who have died? Nostalgia and the requirements of good manners, not to speak ill of the dead, they go a long way towards casting a halo about our dead. But if we're honest, not many, if any, of our dead meet the Matthew 5 standard for the kingdom of heaven, for being comforted, for inheriting the earth, for being filled, for being shown mercy, for seeing God, or being called sons or daughters of God. Doesn't that traditional Irish toast describe how we feel about our dead? May you be in heaven half an hour before the devil knows you're dead. Our loved ones in heaven, they get there by sneaking in, not by meeting the Matthew 5 criteria of sainthood. Okay, so if we don't pass, and even our loved ones don't pass, who does pass the criteria for sainthood? How about the real saints? You know, All Saints is a celebration not so much of our dead in Christ, but those belonging to all the church. All Saints is for the people it feels natural to put the title saint before. You know, St. James, St. John, St. Paul, St. Peter. Did even these people meet the requirements of blessedness that Jesus sets forth in Matthew? When Saints James and John asked for the preferred spots in Jesus' kingdom, they are more proud in spirit than poor. When these same two saints wished to call fire down from heaven to smoke some Samaritan villages, they sure weren't peacemakers, meek, or merciful. St. Peter, he refused to be persecuted for Jesus' sake. St. Paul persecuted others for Jesus' sake. So just who is saintly enough to be in the kingdom of heaven? Who does just about everyone today think is saintly enough? Mother Teresa. She devoted her life to working with the poorest of the poor in the streets of Calcutta. Now there's a saint. Let me tell you a story. A longtime abbot of a monastery lay dying. Being very troubled by his sins, the monks tried to comfort him by pointing him to his many good works, which were very much like Mother Teresa's. Selfless, merciful, thankless. The monk said, what man could gainsay his works? What man could deny their righteousness? What man could challenge their purity? Well, the old abbot answered, yes, but the judgments of God are very different than that of men. How right he was. Except your righteousness, except your holiness exceeds, goes beyond that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus promises right after saying the Beatitudes. Well, whose righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees? Only that of Jesus. There's a joke with Mother Teresa in it that can help you see the point. The guy says to his priest, I'm afraid that at the last judgment I'm going to be standing in line behind Mother Teresa, and I will hear God say to her, you know, you could have done more. Well, isn't that the truth? Couldn't God say that to everyone, our loved ones, us, even the saints of old? You could have done more. The only person God cannot say that to is Jesus. He did all things, not just well, but perfect. He was pure, not just in deed, not just in words, but in thoughts. Did you catch the stir in the Catholic community when Mother Teresa's personal letters were published? They were bothered because in her private thoughts, she had many doubts. Her words and deeds might have been pure by men's standard, but not her thoughts. Only Jesus meets the criteria of Matthew 5. He who disowned heaven to live on earth was poor in spirit. The man of sorrows acquainted with grief, well, he surely did more. The one who didn't lift up his voice in the streets, he was meek. The one who gave up food and drink in the wilderness to gain us righteousness, well, he hungered and thirsted after it. The one who ate and drank with ghastly sinners that others shunned, he was merciful. The one who was in the lap of the Father is surely pure in heart. The one who made peace by the blood of his cross, well, that's a peacemaker. The one who was persecuted by God because we weren't righteous, owns, wins, and has the kingdom of heaven. Only Jesus meets the perfect standard Jesus himself sets down for sainthood in Matthew 5. You don't, I don't, none of our loved ones do, not even the saints of old. Only with Jesus can you rightly see a halo around his head like the Renaissance painters painted him. Only with Jesus can you rightly hear angels singing in the background as the 1950s movies portrayed him. Only Jesus is worthy of sainthood. Then who can be saved? Only Jesus. You see this work out on Good Friday, don't you? He dies innocently on the cross, even his enemies declare. Because he is innocent, God the Father raises him from the dead, and 40 days later we see the innocent, holy, righteous man Jesus go bodily into heaven. Hear all of heaven thundering, hallelujah, hallelujah, as the man Jesus is welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. Only Jesus can be saved. Only Jesus is a saint, and those in Jesus. Historically, Matthew 5 was paired with an epistle reading from Revelation 7, 2-12. Thankfully, our introit preserves the most important part. Who is the multitude in heaven? The angel answers, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. No one's robes could be white enough to get in heaven based on their poverty of spirit, their mourning, their meekness, their mercifulness, or their peacemaking. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse a robe, a life, a heart, a soul sufficiently to get it into heaven. The epistle we read also states who are in heaven. It excludes the impure. It excludes the shameful. It excludes the deceitful. It includes only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's not a matter of hungering and thirsting after righteousness enough. It's not a matter of bearing up under persecution for Jesus' sake. It's a matter of the Lamb's Book of Life. Let another passage in Revelation make this startlingly clear to you. In Revelations 20, 12, and 15, we find two books. One book records what people have done, their poverty of spirit, their mourning, their meekness, etc., or their lack thereof. But that book does not determine if you get into heaven. Verse 15 tells you, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So it's a matter of being in the Lamb's Book of Life and just who is. All who are in Christ. All who have been baptized by him have put him on, says Paul in Galatians. Clothed in the holy flesh and blood of Jesus, heaven's gates must open wide to them. Are you in the Book of Life? You are if your sins have been forgiven, sent away, absolved by Christ. And yours have been in the absolution. Although it was the lips of a man that moved, it was none other than Christ who was speaking. For he promised that the one who hears me really hears him. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It is if you've been bodied and bloodied to him by the Holy Communion. Again, heaven's gates must fly open to welcome the Holy Lord Jesus. Having eaten and drank him, you are not only in him, he is in you, and all in heaven can see it. We must always regard All Saints' Day as a day to celebrate Jesus. Yes, the virtuous and godly lives of the saints, they can be examples. The faith and life of our loved ones in Christ are fine things to remember and aspire to imitate. But at the end of the day, the works done by the Red Crescent Society, the Muslim relief organization, they are no less than those done by the Red Cross. By outward works, a Muslim, a Mormon, a pagan might look more like a saint than many a Christian. But works don't make a saint, and works don't save one. Only Jesus does. Did you notice that in the introit? We ask the Lord to deliver me in your righteousness, not in our own. All saints are saved by the righteous life and death of Jesus. Jesus saves them from sin, from Satan, and perhaps most of all, he saves them from themselves. He did it for the saints of old, he did it for our loved ones in Christ, and he's doing it for us right now. Indeed, we must be saints. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.